Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
I strum the divine chord, and my harmony summons the full manifestation of who I am. So, as you mentioned the frequency, I strum the divine chord, which is more who I am and my identity, right? I understand that I have the power to create with my mind because the God is within me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world, right? So, I understand that I am this inside. I strum the divine chord, meaning I represent and I acknowledge that which is in. The power within me is greater than the power on the outside. I strum the chord, right? And once I strum it, I summon to me, which is attract. I summon to me the full manifestation, right, of who I am and what I desire and what I see in my mind. So, as you mentioned about the frequency, it's raising that up to becoming aware at a higher level. And once you raise up to that level, the thing is attracted to that frequency.
I think that's the most beautiful thing I ever heard. On today's episode of the CLS Experience, a very exclusive treat. Recognized as the number one motivational artist in the world, he's not just a keynote speaker, but a force that shakes the very foundation of every venue he graces, big facts. With a charismatic, powerful voice and words that provoke deep thought, it's no wonder NFL teams and major corporations worldwide are lining up to have him speak and inspire. As a global influencer, multi-award-winning poet, and former Billboard charting artist, he's created a movement that's sweeping across the globe. With over 70 million streams in 171 nations, his motivational messages are nothing short of viral and will penetrate your soul. His best-selling book, Blessed and Unstoppable, has elevated people's spirits in over 32 countries and counting. And if that wasn't enough, in 2019, he was honored with a doctorate in humanities for his unparalleled global impact, no big deal. He's just a juggernaut in all paths of life and a beacon of inspiration for millions. Please welcome the dynamic, electrifying, and abundant, the handsome, and multifaceted Dr. Billy Allsbrooks Jr. How you doing, Dr. Billy?
Man, thank you for the intro, man. That's an intro right there. God bless you, brother. I appreciate you. Amen.
I passed the test. I did good?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. It's an honor to be here, man. I thank you for having me on the show, man, and hope we can add value to your audience, brother.
I know we will. And we were having an awesome conversation before we hit record, and I'm so pumped for today. And for our listeners, what I always suggest, if you weren't familiar, my best suggestion, do a deep dive, play catch up, check out all the unbelievable stuff Billy has going on. What I think is most valuable today is we just have an unbelievable conversation. Before we dive in, we're going to get a little crazy. You ready for me?
Yes, sir. Let's go.
Billy, what
fired up and ready.
What is your superpower, brother?
Good question, man. Good question, brother. I think there's something inside me, and since day one, the superpowers, I just can't stand to lose at anything. Man, like on the inside, from the time I was 1 year old, man, whatever I did, I had to be the best at it. There's just something in me that just would not, you know, ever sit okay with being number two at something. Now, I know it's not necessarily a competition between individuals, but it's competing against myself. You know, and that drives me in everything that I do. No matter what I do, I bring that same mentality, that same identity into the situation. And I believe that's the one consistent thing that has been throughout my life, man.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And it's like it helps you cultivate that edge, right? Not that you need access motivation, but it can't hurt. And just a little
bit. Oh, yeah. Oomph. It just raises everything up, man. It just raises everything up.
Yeah. This is so good. There's so many places that we could take this conversation. And what I like to do is keep this refreshing and give you an experience you haven't quite had before. So that's why I suggested everyone to do a deep dive and play catch up and so forth. And also, I was checking out your content, which I highly suggest everybody do immediately following this conversation. And there were really cool quotes and some pieces of content that I'd love to have some fun and just run by you. And maybe you tell us a little bit about what you mean by them. Is that cool?
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Dress for the victory. Don't dress for the war.
Okay. Well, the dress is is what you're thinking, your thoughts. We drape ourselves down every day with our thinking, with our beliefs, right? Now, some people come into life thinking this, you know, a struggle, that it's a war between us or some conspiracy or some individuals trying to hold us back or some competition, but really it's just us versus us. We dress ourselves down in victory. What I'm saying with that exact quote is, as Christ said on the cross, he said, it is finished. So I play every aspect of life from that position, right? Which means it is already done. Everything is already done. Even though you cannot see it in the physical, it is already done. It's in transition. Once I project the truth out, I expect that thing to come back. So I dress for the thing that I already know in my spirit is already happening. So I don't put on the warfare to say this is going to be a struggle. I put it on to say that I've already conquered this situation. This situation might not know it yet, but I have already conquered the situation.
That's so good. And just energetically, I think about like how you actually manifest stuff. It's putting yourself in the frequency of being grateful that it already happened. Right?
Yes, sir.
Time just hasn't caught up yet, so to speak.
Yes, sir. You just keep projecting the truth into the illusions of life. Bow down to what is real. The real is the dream that I have here. It is not what I see out here. That is not real. That is the illusion. That is subject to change. My vision, the thing that I project, is greater than any illusion out there. So I project the truth. Therefore, I become it. Therefore, it is done. It's not something that I'm actually struggling for. I'm just manifesting what I already am.
I am. That's so good.
That's right.
And we're
I always say this on one of the videos. I say this. I strum the divine chord, and my harmony summons the full manifestation of who I am. So as you mentioned the frequency, I say I strum the divine chord, which is one, who I am and my identity. Right. I understand that I have the power to create with my mind because the God is within me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Right. So I understand that I am this inside. I strum the divine core, meaning I represent and I acknowledge that which is in. The power within me is greater than the power on the outside. I strum the cord. Right. And once I strum it, I summon to me, which is attract. I summon to me the full manifestation, right, of who I am and what I desire and what I see in my mind. So as you mentioned about the frequency, it's raising that up to becoming aware at a higher level. And once you raise up to that level, the thing is attracted to that frequency.
I think that's the most beautiful thing I ever heard.
So we did a thing and launched our first book, The Reinvention Formula, and became a Wall Street Journal bestseller in the first week of launch. The feedback is off the charts, and this book has 41 bite-sized chapters on everything to help you gain clarity, cultivate self-belief, unlock a bulletproof mindset, branding, entrepreneurship, mindset, falling in love, self-care, and everything in between. It's the number one vessel for all of your human development in one place, and it was published by the iconic Wiley Publishing, hitting number 4 for Wall Street Journal and becoming a USA Today bestseller as well. No big deal. It's very digestible. I had no ghostwriter, and it's jam-packed with juicy nuggets that will ignite that fire within. Head to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and any way you buy books, snatch your copy today and activate your expansion. Juicy nuggets, you dig?
God's good.
Unbelievable. Can you just run that back? You strum?
I strum the divine chord, right? That's awareness. I strum the divine chord. I know who I am. Right. First, you got to know who you are. No matter what it is you're doing, first, you got to know you. Right. I strum the divine chord, and my harmony. Right. My harmony summons the full manifestation of who I am.
I know exactly what you mean. And I highly encourage all our listeners right now to grab a journal, run that back and write that down. And to me, that's really how you manifest stuff, because I know manifest is like a sexy word these days. But you don't manifest what you want. You manifest what you are, right? What are you able to sustain vibrationally, right? And emotionally, energetically. And this is so beautiful. And I know you mentioned God and stuff like that. And I know that there was a time when you kind of renewed your faith in God, and that kind of changed your life. Is that right?
That's right, man. You know, growing up, I grew up in the church. My mother and father were both worship leaders, right? So for the time I was, you know, one year old, man, I'm in the front row of church. Matter of fact, I wrote my first poem, my first song on a tithing envelope at 7 years old there in church. Now, when I turned about 13, I think it was 13, almost 14, we had moved from Dallas, one environment, to South Florida, which was a totally different environment that I got, introduced to. Now, down there, at this age, 13 to 14, man, I got introduced to the gang lifestyle, the thug life, as I call it, the drug mentality. Man, Miami's just booming. You know, it's totally different contrast from where I came from Dallas at that point to Miami, man. And I fell in love with the street life, the draw and the packaging. I always say this, the enemy has a gift at packaging up the wrong thing in such a seductive way that we fall for it, right? So I traded in the Batman and the Superman as my hero and started seeing the dope man ride by on the rims and all of that. That became the Batmobile. And I'm like, I want that. You know what I mean? I wanted that lifestyle, that attention, that respect and everything that came with it, man. And, you know, from that point on, from like 13, 14 on, all the way to 2007, almost 20 years, man, I was in chasing the wrong thing, man. And my daddy always said, if you're going to make a mistake, make it full speed. And I made it full speed, bro, like all in. And the thing that really changed me, though, my father passed away unexpected in 2007, at the end of 2000, December 30th. In front of me from complications from a stroke, right? Like I didn't expect him to die at 63. At 63, he looked 53. And all my grandparents lived to be in their 80s. And three of them were still alive, full functioning at the time my dad died. So like, I really didn't expect this to happen. Like I expected I had, you know, 20 something more years with him. And like we do, we think we have all day and, you know, eternity with our loved ones. We don't. You know, somebody needs to hear this right now. You don't. If there's somebody that means something to you today, tell them, because you might not get another chance, man. But the shocking and the trauma, the way that just turned my whole life upside down, watching him die in front of me unexpected, man, it just shook everything. I began to question everything, you know. But before I could step into my new season, though, but before I could step, you know, coming out of the music and the thug life that I was in into this new season that I'm in now, which is personal development, kingdom building people up, construction is what I call it. I was in destruction back in the day. Now I'm in constructing, helping people construct the better version of themselves. But before I could do that, man, I had to go through the struggle, man. 7 years, the 7 year, what I call the lost years in the wilderness. You know, for my dad, Donna, I developed PTSD, panic attacks, and they just consume me, man. I went from being on stage rapping and doing my former life in front of 20,000 people to being locked up in my bedroom 2 weeks at a time, scared to come out, like literally scared to come out because I was having these panic attacks and this trauma was just taking over my mind, man. So for 7 years, I lost everything during this time, the 7 years, everything that I put up in my previous successes, and my old life, I lost it all, man, slowly, like a death by a thousand cuts. You know, every day it got a little bit worse, a little bit worse, a little bit worse, man. For 7 years, man, I struggled to get my mind back, you know, but God did deliver me out of that season. He lifted it up, lifted me up, put me back on my feet and gave me a new message, a new calling and a new purpose, man. So I stepped into that around 2017, really, is when I went on YouTube first in January of 2017. Man, I took a different direction. But there was that season. Somebody needs to hear this. There was a season of trial and tribulation. There, whenever you can grow, thrive, or multiply, the enemy is going to attack. Remember that. You know, and if he's not attacking you, that's when you should be the most worried. You know, when I was in my old thug life, man, the enemy pretty much left me alone. Straight up, like I was working for him, like, leave my man alone, right? But the moment I started to pursue greatness and go out to try to help other people, to get in my gift, my true calling, the thing I was on fire for, boom, that's when the war jumped off, man. So somebody out there needs to hear this, man. The struggle is real, but so is the God that'll help you overcome it.
That's unbelievable. So right before something great or there's a level of expansion, that's when you can count on the opponent showing up.
Right. Right. There's warfare between the old version of you and the new version. And these two people are pulling each other, trying to dictate and determine your destiny. Now, which one you bow to mentally will decide who wins that battle. Right. If I don't want to let go of my old life because I'm too scared of what the new one might be, this one's going to win. Right. It takes faith to step into this new season. You know, and sometimes it's hard to let go. Even when we struggle, it's hard to let go because we know and we are comfortable in that, right? We're comfortable in the struggle, comfortable in the bondage. It's hard sometimes to let go of that, you know, because we just don't know what's out there. The fear of the unknown keeps people, you know, in bondage so much. I always say the common person doesn't do his own thinking. Fear does it for them, yeah. You know?
I was just learning this in a Kabbalah class I'm taking, and basically, the next level of our expansion does not look like rainbow, sunshines, and butterflies. It looks like pain,
right.
Suffering,
right.
Trial,
right.
And all this negativity. But it's really asking you, how bad do you want it? How deep are you willing to dig? And over that uncomfortable stuff is the major expansion. But most people won't even try, or they'll get dejected because it looks very scary. So, yeah.
That's right.
Makes perfect sense.
I think it was Picasso. He said something, not verbatim, but he said something like, before you can create, first you must destroy, right? You must destroy this old version of you. I say, before you can go to the next level, you must take your mind to the guillotine. We must cut off this old way of thinking, this old way of believing, this old way of acting. We must get rid of this version of myself. Literally kill it off, right? Literally, mentally, spiritually, all the beliefs, we must kill those beliefs off in order to set ourselves up for the new ones. Because, you know, the new cannot sit down if the old is sitting in the chair, right? We must get it out of the chair in order for something new to sit down. And that's some of the hardest thing to do, is to let go. You did it yourself with the recreation, you know, the recreating yourself, you know, and that's very, very hard to do. Well, you do not see people that are at high level in one field able to do that. We see this, you know, struggle all the time. I see it with the NFL athletes that I speak to, right? They have this one identity their whole life, and they're very successful, right? But then what? Now what do we do after the league? And what do we do when the last play is played? What do we do? And so many of them have such a struggle and challenge to recreate themselves into something different. Same thing with military soldiers. I speak to them, the veterans. One of the biggest issues they have is they don't know how to repurpose their gifts and talents in another package and another way for the new season. And you get stuck between the old person you are and who you're capable of being, that wilderness a lot of times, man. And we just float around in there until finally one of them wins out. We either return to the old, or we step into the new with boldness.
This is unbelievable. You say Picasso said that?
Yes. Before we can create, first we must destroy. You understand? So it's not verbatim, but that's summing up what he said. That's summing up what he said.
But it really resonated with me. Like, I think of identities, and you mentioned like the guillotine to make it very real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, for everybody listening, this is a 7-figure conversation. If you're willing to apply it, what got you here, good or bad, is not what's going to get you to the next level. Right. Exactly. So we have to kill off a certain identity that's comfortable at this level to create a new one that's comfortable at the next level.
That's right. And that's what the guillotine is symbolizing for. Because what does the guillotine do? It cuts off the head, our thinking. We get rid of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I always say this at the seminars. I say, we must unlearn all that we have learned in order to become all that we're capable of being. Mm-hmm. Right. And some people, they say there's too much mind. We have too much old. We must let go and return to the childlike state. Right. When we were a child, we could imagine, we could dream, we could play, right? We could play in different scenarios out in our mind. When we become adults, we seem to lose that capability. We learn so much that we're not useful anymore. Do you understand it? We must unlearn so that we can become useful again. You know,
you nailed it. And one of the chapters in my book is Uninstall to Reinstall. Because,
that's right.
And you mentioned babies, right? Like, when you look at them, like, I have a little nephew and a niece. My brother, my best friend, has a couple of kids, and they're so pure. And all they know is like joy and happy, because they haven't been beaten down by life yet. So they haven't formed limiting beliefs or negativity,
that's right.
or constraints,
right?
Those things we're not born with. So now that we know that and we have the awareness, if we pick them up or we install them along the way, we can also uninstall them.
That's right. Christ talks about a message too. He says, if you want to come to the kingdom, you must come as a child. He's talking that way because the adults have learned too many limitations, too many I can't do's in order to do the impossible. You know, we must return to that childlike state, man. And from that place, we can build the new season.
Yeah, there's so much alignment here. I really love this. You know, I'll be honest with you. I grew up Jewish. I am Jewish, but I never really was super religious, if I'm being honest. But one thing that I've really quadrupled down on over the last few years is my relationship with God. And amen. Yeah, hell yeah. And I saw you say somewhere, and I want to acknowledge you for it. Maybe we can open up a little topic. It really resonated with me. You said, when I say God, I don't mean religion. I mean relationship. There's a difference.
That's right. That's right. Some people have so much religion, they got no room for God. You know what I mean? And the religion is the things that keep God out, the rituals, the dogmas, the superstitions, all this stuff that we do that begins to put up a wall around us and God cannot get to us through our beliefs. We have to get rid of all of that and just be one-on-one. You know, I always say this, don't get your relationship retail with God, get it wholesale, direct from the source, man. Just you and him, right? There's no judgment there. It's just you and the one that made you, that spirit, that voice on the inside. You know that voice better than you think you do. Somebody needs to hear this. You know God's voice better than you think you do. It's on the inside. Start right here. Start on the inside. Sometimes we're looking for God in the wrong place. We think he's up in some faraway place, bro. He's within us, each and every one of us. He's here at all times. The only way he could be here at all times is because he is in us, you know?
I'm so pumped to be having this conversation with you. Did you just say, so speaking to God directly is wholesale and then a religion would be resale or retail?
Retail. Like, and it's like us going to somebody else, asking them what God told us. Right. God will speak directly to his child, to you, to us. Right. Yeah. Well, he speaks directly to his people. Right. Now, I'm not saying we can't go to others for guidance and counsel. But that should only truly confirm what is already in our spirit. They should only confirm what God has already planted in us.
Yeah.
Right?
That's awesome. That's unbelievable. You say stuff so like unique. It's just beautifully said, but it makes so much sense. You make it very digestible. It's awesome.
Thank you, man. God is good.
No, it's one of the many reasons why you're as successful as you are is just the content. It's unique, but like I said, it's easy to consume. It makes sense. Like even for someone right now that like might not be super religious or maybe they don't have that thick of a relationship with God, but they hear you say that and it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like you're not saying that the religions are bad or temple church, but what you're saying is just go directly.
Right. Exactly. I mean, my goal is to make this stuff applicable. You know, being able to apply it to everyday life. And, you know, religion, sometimes it separates us from it separates. And it also separates us to where we don't know how to apply it. We go, let's say, either you go to a temple or you go to a church, whatever it is. And then Monday, you don't know how to apply it to everyday life. Right. That's not the way it was intended, man. We should be able to take the wisdom, the knowledge of God and bring it into Monday. Right. Not just on the worship day, but bringing it to money and understand how to apply it to business in order to bear fruit, how to apply it to relationships, to marriages, to raising children, to, you know, being attacked under sickness or something like that. We should be able to apply it to every situation.
You may have heard we have the fastest growing, dynamic, supportive and strategy rich community in the space called the CLS membership. We meet 3 Wednesdays a month virtually on different topics such as entrepreneurship, branding, money stories, building relationships, mindset, and a whole lot more. We have a private group where members collaborate and network, and we are joined by massive guest speakers who have personally hit me up on the side saying they have never felt an energy like the one we have inside our community. It's special and exclusive. If you're listening to this podcast, you're clearly a growth-minded, expansive cat. If you'd like to learn more, head to our website and check out the CLS membership. And also, get a little excited, you dig?
You know, and so many people, I believe today, they have a whole lot of religion, but don't have any application, don't know how to take it in their everyday life. And that is my goal. That is, I believe, one of my biggest purposes is to bring the word and mobilize it, not just let a person hear it or hear a scripture, but be able to take that and mobilize it into something that produces fruit and, you know, fruit and action and manifestations in their life. That's what it was intended, you know, intended to do.
100%. I love this. It's one thing to hear it. It's another to apply it.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
It's unbelievable. Another thing that I thought that I heard you say, it's kind of related to what we were talking about before, is to get to the next level, you got to get in the ring with those things that scare you most.
Yes.
And that's very similar to what we were just talking about, where it's like that next level of expansion is scary and so forth.
That's right. I tell you, there's an old saying, every level, there's another devil, right? And it was the same with me. I saw this in real time. Like at first, before I could step into doing my teaching, I had to overcome the fear of dying before I could start living. That was the fear I had to do. As I began to grow and accelerate, man, I had to face each fear. It was like each fear would come and get in the ring. And before I could qualify for the next level, I'd have to deal with the thing right here in front of me. Right. I'll give you a great example. I came out of this thug life, right? And God completely gave me a calling 180 degrees opposite of the one I was doing. I was in the business, in the thug life of destruction. He put me in the business of construction, right? Totally opposite directions. Now, the insecurities, you know, of stepping into this new life were present at the very, very beginning. Of course, I'm becoming somebody new, so there's all these insecurities that are being stirred up. Now, one insecurity I had in 2017, now, I fully had bought into the fact that God was putting things in my mouth that weren't mine, right? Like, I'm not taking credit for these. These things came out of my spirit and out to you. They're not mine, right? So I knew he was speaking through me, but here's the thing. I thought God had made a mistake. I'm like, you messed up with the packaging, the person you gave this gift to, because my insecurities, my flesh, the man in me said, you're not good enough to deliver this message, right? They're not going to take it from you because of the way you look, right? Because at the time, I started listening to motivation way, way back in the day. I'm talking about early 2000. Everybody that I was watching at this time on YouTube when it was in very Genesis, like 2006 and 2007, everybody that was on doing motivation, they did not look like me. Right. You know, Tony Robbins is 6'6". I'm 5'6". Right. You know, Joel had the suit on, TD Jakes, all these different speakers, man, that I looked up to looked different than me. They didn't have the gold teeth. They didn't come from the same background. I didn't have the same type of education and all of that. So my insecurities on the inside, the little me, as I call it, there's a big you and a little you right inside you fighting at all times. Well, the little me said, they're not going to take this message from you. So from 2017 to the middle of 2018, man, I never put a picture out of me on social media ever. All you saw was my logo. This one right here, the Blessed and Unstoppable logo. That was on everything. Nobody, they heard my voice everywhere. I went viral in April of 17, right? And every motivational channel in the world had me on. I mean, every single one. You heard the voice, but you never saw me, the visual of me, because I didn't believe in that. I didn't believe that I was good enough to do that. Now, it took about 18 months and God began to work on me and say to me, listen, man, I made you the way you are, fearfully and wonderfully made. You are who I made you to be. I don't call the qualified. I equip those that I call. You understand? So it took a while for me to really get in the ring with that fear that I might be rejected, man, because I'll be honest. I turned down over $500,000, man, in bookings. People would call me when the video started going viral in April of 17. Every Fortune 500 company in the world was calling me. We want you to be the keynote. Will you come do it? 20 minutes, $20,000. Will you do it? Now, here's the thing. They had never seen me. They had just heard me. Right. And I was like, they don't know who they're booking. That little me saying, hey, they're not going to accept you. And da 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 da. Even though I was never scared of speaking. The speaking aspect wasn't mine anyway. God was speaking. I was never scared of speaking in front of people. I was scared of them rejecting me as an individual, scared of them. And I had to eventually get in the ring with that and say, I am okay with me in order to qualify for the tour that I'm on now. Like I'm on a world tour now that I'm about to go do the 125th event, right? 125. But that wouldn't take place. It couldn't have even been a thought. Until first, I was willing to get on the stage in front of 10,000 people I did not know, who did not see me, and say, I'm okay with me. And until I got in the ring with that, I didn't qualify for the next season. And it happened all the way through like that. Every time I would overcome that, then the new one would come, the new fear. For instance, okay, I accepted that God was the one speaking. I was okay to get on stage. I was comfortable with me. Then came, well, you're scared of flying. I was scared of getting on a plane, right? So I was like, I got to do this because God had put a dream in me before I started doing this. He put a dream in me of impacting 1 billion people, 1 billion people. Right now, there's only 300 something million people in the United States. So that means what? I'm going to have to fly out of here. I'm going to have to fly across the Atlantic, fly across the Pacific, fly to South America, fly different places. Now, the thing was, I came to that crossroad. Is my dream bigger than my fear? Mm. Right. Is my dream more important to me than my fear of trying to protect myself? Right. And I had to choose one. I either, choose the fear or choose the dream. Man. And, I had to do it slowly and desensitize myself to that fear. But it had to be conquered in order to do what I'm doing now. I would take the flight 30 minutes. Right. I'd get on a short flight 30 minutes. And then I went to 1 hour. Then I went to a 2 hour flight. Then I went to fly across the whole country, 4 hour flight. And I did this over and over and over. And slowly I became to conquer that fear and desensitize it. So now I can fly to London, Paris, Rome, where I can go the other way, go to Australia like I did a few months ago. Now, that only happened because I got in the ring with fear. Somebody needs to hear this. You're not going to go to the next level until you're willing to look at that fear and say, I want my dream more than I care about protecting myself. This fear has no place in me. And until you get to that point, you're going to stay right here. It's time to face it. It's time to face that thing.
This is unbelievable. And this reminds me so much of something else that you talk about, spiritual warfare.
That's right. Amen. Always. It's all, as I said on one of the quotes the other day, spiritual warfare is about real estate, man. Faith and fear are both trying to take up residency in your mind. It's all about real estate. Who you let live rent-free in here, man? Am I having thoughts that empower me, strengthen me, lift me up, manifest the things, or do I have thoughts that disempower me, hold me back, and destroy the better version of me? So it's a constant battle over fear and faith and seeing which one is going to win.
And I think there's a misconception that people think that the more successful we get or the more we elevate or the ladder we climb, that goes away. But we just get a little bit better at dealing with it. But it's always
right.
And I've interviewed some of the world's highest achievers in all industries, and there's always that little bit of imposter syndrome or the opponent,
yes,
or something that we have to overcome almost on a daily basis, right?
Every day. like you say, every day. Because, I mean, it should be that way by design, though. Listen, if you're comfortable, that's the enemy of greatness, man. Comfort has nothing to do with greatness. I always say this, your success potential will always be equivalent to the level you're willing to be uneasy, right? Now, if you feel comfortable right now in your life, you're not stretching enough. You should still have that little queasy. You should still get the anxiety and the fear, but your response to that fear and anxiety should be different. Instead of running like normal people do, common people do, that's why they say common, instead of running away from it, we need to run toward it. Anytime you fear something, you need to stand in it and show it that you are not scared. And the longer you stand there in that fear, the less power that fear will have over you. It will begin to diminish every second that you stand in it and say, I refuse to run. I refuse to get shook out of my dream. I'm going to stay here. And the longer I stay here, the less that fear has dominion over me.
And it keeps
becoming desensitized to it.
100%. And this is a really cool paradigm shift because it means that if you are facing this or you feel it, that's good. That means
you're
on the right path. And then you just
need
courage to persevere and lower the shoulder, whatever the case may be. But just to be clear, everybody, if you're facing that, that's a good, that you're on the right path.
Yes.
Because
absolutely.
No pain, no gain. Like to expand, like reminds me of pain is the portal. Like, you have to go through that canal to get to the other side, so to speak.
Right. I always say this. There's a reason why all these furniture stores sell so many Lazy Boy chairs, man. The common person wants to be comfortable, man, but greatness has nothing to do with comfort. I'm going to show you one question that separates the good, the greats, the legends from common people. The common person gets up and says, how can I be comfortable today? What can I do to relax today? The great, the champion doesn't do that. Every day the champion gets up and says, how can I put myself in a position of discomfort today so that I can grow? How can I put myself in a position that will challenge me at all levels on spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally today so that I can grow and so that I can get better? That person who asks that question every day is going to have a total different living dynamic than the person who's just wanting everything to be safe and easy. Safe and easy never produced anything but average.
That's unbelievable. Safe and easy never produced anything but average.
Nutrition Solutions offers the best healthy meal prep options for health, wellness, weight loss, and improved performance. The customer service and support at Nutrition Solutions is unbelievable and second to none. And when I travel for my marathons, the meals are waiting at my hotel. I don't even have to break a sweat. Even their protein donuts and breakfast items are made with fresh, organic ingredients. I love Nutrition Solutions' reliability, quality, and all-around lifestyle that they represent, which is world-class. To get both physically and mentally fit, go to NutritionSolutions.com and use promo code CLS25. Thank me later, you dig.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it.
This is so good, brother. And one of the reasons why, one of the many reasons why I love your content is because it's not niche. It's applicable and universal for everybody in some capacity.
Amen.
Anybody can relate to this stuff. Everybody's going through something.
Right, man. The same thing applies, like being, some people are scared in relationships, scared to open themselves up. Right? Like, I mean, that's the fear, right? Some people are scared I might lose money, scared I might make money, scared I might be successful because, you know, we always think about people failing being a fear, but some people are scared of what happens if I do succeed, right? And that's a paradigm shift that you got to get out of if you want to go to the next level. You know, all these things are fears that we've got to face. You know, I always say this, what is the number one thing putting your dream in jeopardy? You know, asking the right questions, because questions are transportation. They'll take you wherever you want to go. You just got to ask the right question. Common people ask common questions. That's where they're common, right? The greats ask better questions. Like, for instance, the common person, when life hits them, right, with a trauma or setback, they say, why me, right? Like that old why, that why me, that's a self-defeating question, right? But a champion, an overcomer, an entrepreneur, somebody who won't settle for average, when life hits them like that, instead of saying the why me, they say, why not me? You know, how can I use this to get stronger, to become that warrior I know I'm capable of becoming? See, warriors don't run from war. That's why we call them warriors. They run to war. They invite war in every single day. That's why they're legends. That's why they're immortal. That's why we talk over and over and over. The Muhammad Ali's, the Tom Brady, the Michael Jordan's, man, because they invited war. You understand that? You know, they invited the struggle. You know, the struggle is real, but the struggle is what makes you great. Don't run from what will make you great. I say this, I'm a product of the struggle. Without the struggle, I am nothing, right? The struggle made me, so I don't run from the struggle. Matter of fact, I applaud it. Thank you, because you gave me the exact tools and essential elements that I needed to go to the next level that I could not have gone there without you. So embrace the struggle. Embrace it and see it differently. See it as a device. Like, for instance, if you're trying to build your arms, you know, up, right? You go to the gym and what do? You lift weights. Why do you lift the weights? Because you want to break these muscles apart. You want to rip them, tear them apart. Why? Because when they grow back bigger. They grow back stronger. We must do the same thing emotionally and mentally. Fear and struggle, trials and tribulations are the weight room of the mind. The weight room of the emotions. The more we go through these types of things, the stronger we get on the inside. So some of you, you know, have been running from getting hurt, but the getting hurt is what is going to thrust you to the next level. Stop running from the thing that is going to make you exceptional, that's going to make you unstoppable. I said this today, I wrote a quote this morning. I said, I tricked the world into hurting me so deeply that I became unstoppable. You know what I mean? That's where you got to look at this thing differently, because it's all how we respond, right? It's all about our response. It's not what happened to us that defines us. It's how we respond to it that defines us. You know, a great question. Every one of you out there that's listening to this podcast right now, one question that will change the dynamic of your existence is if you ask this question and ask it consistently. One thing would change your whole life. Say, how am I going to respond? Now, no matter what life hits at you, you get a betrayal, right? How am I going to respond? You get denied the loan for the business. How am I going to respond? You go bankrupt. How am I going to respond? The stock market turns, the real estate market turns. How am I going to respond? Right? I get hurt. How am I going to respond? You know, that's what we must constantly ask ourselves and be focused on, that response, rather than the thing that happened to us. The most important thing is how you respond to it. And at all times, we must respond like a champion. We must respond like a warrior. We must respond like the person we are, the overcomer that we are at all times. But ask that question. If you ask that question in the moment, you'll seize back control of your thinking instead of the emotion in the moment having control of you. When you ask that question, you are taking back the reins and control of your life.
Right. And first of all, I love when you get fired up, brother. It's unbelievable.
Amen.
And when you do that, you have the ability to respond, not react.
That's it.
Which is something we're all working on, I think, a little bit.
Man, one thing that I'm committed to, I've been mapping out 2024 now, right?
Same.
Is to be completely inner focused. And what I mean by that is not giving hardly any weight at all to anything that happens to me on the outside that I don't control. And strictly asking that question over and over. Okay, if something doesn't turn out the way I want it, how am I going to respond? And stay in here. And I thought about the question was this, is what if for 365 days, I stayed focused, I stayed disciplined, and I kept asking the right questions like that and focused on what I controlled instead of what I didn't, and kept all my energy, time, focus, and allocation right there. What could I achieve? Right. And that's going to be the big test for me in 2024. I want to see how far and how much I can achieve and accomplish and do and become by strictly controlling what I control. Once you master the things under your control, the things outside your control become irrelevant. Somebody needs to hear that. So my thing is to seize back control of what I do control, because there's so much in this world that we don't. Right. But when we are focusing outward, every moment that we focus outward, we are getting weaker. We're not functioning in our power. If we are looking out, we are not in our power. If we are looking in, we are in the center of that power and we can do anything. And that's where I want to keep my focus, right there. Say, man, am I disciplined today? Am I doing what I need to do today? Am I rooted in my word, my study, my workouts, my eating, my spiritual detox, making sure I'm not letting bitterness and these things get in me? If I control that inner world, the outer world will come bow to it. You understand? So that is my goal for 2024. Maybe somebody needed to hear that. Maybe that'll help you as well. But think of what you control instead of what you don't. And that's that question. How am I going to respond? That question keeps you thinking from that place.
This is one of those episodes where you can run it back 20 times. I mean, guys, in the audience, like, this is so pivotal and so important, because it never really is the stuff that happens, but how we handle, how we respond. Can we turn, challenges into opportunities, or are we defeated? And that can really dictate your entire life. So this stuff that he's saying is so important. And if you get your inside, right, like your inner game, nothing can really penetrate you. I'm not saying
that is, to be honest, that is the whole game. The inside is the whole game. Mm-hmm. We've been misled that the senses have led us out of our power to thinking that the senses are more powerful than our mind and our thoughts. And that is not true. That is error, right? Every second that we think it's something on the outside, man. You know, somebody needs to hear this too. It's in my spirit, man. Somebody out there has made a mistake, right? A real mistake, and beating themselves up about it. I'm going to tell you this. It's not the mistake that's going to define you. It's what you do after that mistake. Everybody is going to make mistakes. What are you going to do now? This is the only thing that matters, right? God is not upset with you about what you did in the past. He is too concerned about what you're doing now and what your future is going to look like. Stay focused right here and respond and live from this moment. Make your future so bright they forget all about your past. Come on, somebody.
This is perfect. I love it. Love you, brother. This is so good. And yes, like, the mistakes are inevitable. And also, when we do have a mistake, it's good because then we're able to tell a story about what happens next and how we responded and how we rose to the occasion.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you used to trade, right? You used to be on the market trade. Okay, you know this in that field. You make a bad trade. Okay, you don't want to carry that over into the next one.
Correct.
Right, that trade is over. What am I going to do from here forward, right? That's it. And the ones that succeed in that field in the stock, they're able to let the last trade stay in the last trade and get to the next one. The ones that don't succeed carry that over into the next trade, and it affects everything, right?
It reminds me of, you mentioned Tom Brady before, also known as the GOAT. Like, if that guy, if that cat throws an interception, the very next drive, it's like he's starting from, that's it, clean slate.
Scratch.
I don't even know what happened. This is a brand new drive.
Exactly. That's it, man. You know, I had a guy tell me, something in my seminar. He came to thank me, but I actually got the message and lesson from him. Sometimes that happens, right? Like, it goes one way, but really your own blessing is in somebody else, right? And he came to my seminar after we got to talking, and he said, man, I just want to thank you, man. Your videos, made me a millionaire. Right, listening to you every day, motivating. I was like, I appreciate it. But now, once I know he's succeeding, right, he's succeeding, I need to learn from this guy. And this is something people need to hear on your show right now. Anybody who's winning, you need to be taking notes. You understand? If I get in the presence of anybody, if they are the best knitter in the world, I'm taking notes, right? Whatever greatness is, because there's something they're tapping into, some principle, some law that I can export over into what I'm doing. Right. Greatness leaves clues. Right. But this guy said he was successful and became a millionaire. So I was like, OK, teach me what it is you do. And I said, how did you become a millionaire? He said, man, I own the 30. That's how I became a millionaire. And I was like, what does that mean? Own the 30. Right? I was confused. And I'm writing it down on my paper. Own the 30. What does that mean? He said, I'm in the type of business that, we sell solar door to door. Right. In Texas, in the hot summer where it's 105 degrees. Right. We get dropped off in neighborhoods. We divide the streets up and go door to door knocking on people's doors who did not ask us to come. We cold knocking, trying to sell a high ticket price item to people who didn't even want us to come knock on their door. Right. He says, so we get dropped off 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm knocking on doors. Right. And he said, I had to learn how to own the 30. And I said, explain that to me. He said, okay, well, it takes 30 seconds for me to walk from one door to the other door. He said, in that 30 seconds, that's where dreams die. And I go, what do you mean? He said, okay, you knock on the first door. The person gets up and they're mad because they just woke up out of sleep and you woke them up at 7 in the morning. They open the door. You say, hi, I'm John. I'd like to, sell you some solar, save you some money. And they say, no, get off my porch. Boom, slam the door in your face. Right? Now, he said, the ones that succeed in my business can leave that door slam where it happened. That 30 seconds it takes to get to the next door, most people let that defeat or that negative no or whatever it is, right? They let that thing impact the next door that they go knock on. So the next time they knock on the door, they knock them with a little less intensity, a little more insecurity. And he said, by the third or fourth door, they're done. He said, 90% of the people that get hired on in our business quit by the fourth door. He said, but here's the thing. He said, those that keep knocking in our field, there's two types of people. There's people that make no money because they quit on door four, or there's people who make 6 and 7 figures. There's no in between. And he said, I learned early on that all I had to do was keep knocking. And if I kept knocking, that success would come. That the numbers showed. If you kept knocking on doors, you made the sales. He said, I looked at the numbers one day and realized if I kept knocking on doors, I could become a millionaire. He was 26 years old at the time he started this company, right? He said, I set a goal to, two goals. He said, I set a goal to become a millionaire before I was 30 and to buy a red Lamborghini before I was 30. And he's at my event. He said, I became a millionaire 2 months ago. And he said, tomorrow I'm going to pick up the Lamborghini. And he showed me the car. He said, they had to ship it in. It's paid for everything. He said, now I was able to do this because I learned to own the 30. I said, well, how'd you not own the 30? And he said, this is where you came in. He said, when I would get the door slammed in my face, no, get off my porch, boom. He said, I pull out my phone. I had you on YouTube already paused and ready to go with my headphones in. I push play and it would come on your message, champion. He'd say, I was born a champion, raised a champion. I got champion in my bloodline. All I ever been is a champion. He said, by the time I got to that second door, I'm knocking a little louder with a little bit more intensity. Right. Because I'm getting fired up mentally where other people are falling off because they don't control their mind. That owning the 30 is about controlling your thinking, right? We get defeated here before we ever get defeated out here. We lose here, not out here. We lose here first, right? So he said, by door number 3 and 4, I am so cranked emotionally and mentally, man, they cannot tell me no. He said, I'm not on that door by the 4th door. He said, I'm like, how would you like to buy some soda today? Right? Like, he's fired up. And he said, my intensity and the thing that I bring into the table becomes contagious. And it impacts them. He said, every time, he said, by the 3rd or 4th door, the person comes to me and said, how did you know I wanted to buy soda? Right? Like, he said, it would happen over and over and over. He said, the ones that failed lost that 30 seconds. And the ones that succeed learn how to manage the no's. You know, successful people learn how to navigate a world full of no's. That's it. That's the only difference between common people and great people. The greats learn how to navigate that no, where the common person lays down, the great says, man, I'm one step closer. You know, I always say this. I say every no that you get is a success coin. Right. And when you get enough no's, enough success coins, you can buy success. Some people don't want enough no's to get their piggy bank full to be able to purchase that. You understand? So every no that you get, just see it, man, I'm one step closer. I'm 1 foot closer. I'm 1 door closer. I'm 1 opportunity closer to achieving that what I set out for.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. The last thing I want to say about that is this correlated to when you say opportunities move towards those who honor and respect them?
Yeah, honor and appreciate them. Because, you know, if every time opportunity shows up, you're too scared to open the door. If every time opportunity shows up, you think you're not good enough. If every time opportunity shows up, you say, well, I don't want to get hurt again. Sooner or later, opportunity stops knocking. Right? But for the one that will just keep persevering and just keep getting up off the mat and keep honoring and seizing the moment. When opportunity comes, you got to seize it. Because if you don't, destiny will find somebody else who will, right? So you got to seize every moment. And the good steward of opportunity gets presented with more opportunities. Think about it. If you give somebody an opportunity in your business, right? A friend of yours, you give them a solid. You say, hey, man, I'm going to get up and connect you with somebody. And that turns out great. And the person that you recommended, they come back and say, man, that was a great connect. Thank you, man, for hooking me up with your friend. Now, next time somebody comes to you and wants another opportunity, you're going to feed that guy again because he did right. He seized that moment and did right. Now, what happens if you ask your friend, hey, did you call that connect that I hooked you with? Well, I've been busy this week, man, and I ain't really getting no time to do. You're not going to put your name on the line for that person. You know what I mean? You're not going to put your name at stake, your company, your reputation at stake for somebody who's not willing to put it in at the same level. So that's the same thing, man. Opportunity seeks those who know how to honor and respect it when it comes to the door. And that's the same with everything. Money, right? Money goes where it's appreciated. Energy. It goes where it's acknowledged and respected and allocated. Yep. That's where it comes, right? Same thing with love, too, right? If love is not going to come to somebody who don't appreciate it. Right. If you treat your woman bad and you don't, you know, respect and honor and do right for her, she's not going to stay that long. Right. Same thing. Everything in life goes to where it is honored and respected.
Period. Yeah. It's unbelievable. I know we're getting towards the end. I wanted to ask you one more. Do you have a minute?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We good.
Yeah. Awesome. The words you use reveal to the enemy your rank in God's army. I'm not 100% sure what that means, but it's so beautiful. I'd love to find out.
Okay. The enemy can tell by the words you're using whether you believe or not. Right? He can tell. Like when I come into the dream, hey, man, I'm going to try to do this, you know, new business venture. Or I'm coming in there, this thing is done. I need to figure out how I'm going to hire 100 people when this thing takes off. Right. He can tell by the words in a conversation. I always say this. I can tell by the words you use, the belief that you have. Your words will reveal you. Right. So at all times, make sure you're using words of victory, words that overcome, words that stimulate energy and emotion. Now, we don't really understand the power of words, but man, words are keys that open doors. Right. Now, if I say this, let me give you a great example. I say, you know, what kind of a relationship do you want to have? You say, well, you know, I want a good one. Okay, well, good is just a little bit above lukewarm. And when you say good, it didn't really stimulate nothing in me, create no energy or nothing, right? But if I say, you know, they say, what kind of relationship you have? You say, man, I want one on fire. I want one passion. I want intensity. I want bond. I want to be locked like this. I want my person to be oxygen, right? Now, I just set a whole new thing in motion, man. Those words stir energy, stir breakthroughs, right? Some people can't get a breakthrough because they're not using words that allow breakthroughs to happen, right? They're using words that keep them in bondage instead of words that unlock their greatness, you know? So make sure when you speak, the enemy knows, man, I'm dealing with a believer. I better go deal with somebody else who don't believe in a dream, because this one here, I have no chance of defeating this one, right? Because victory, you know, is here. It starts in the mind. It comes through the birth canal, which is your mouth. I say the dream starts here, right? The mind is the womb that gives birth to the dream. But that dream must come through the birth canal, which is your mouth, right? And if I get this aligned and this aligned, it's not long before I start walking it too, right? If your mind and mouth are agreement, your body starts to follow them too. So like, if you're using the right words, words that stimulate power, man, the enemy fears that. The enemy fears the one who's committed. Obstacles don't want to get in the way of somebody who's committed. They're no match for that.
Correct.
So be, you know, one thing you can do immediately, if you have nothing else, you say, I don't have money to start, I don't have anything else, you know, to get started on my dream, I'm going to take one thing you do. Get a new set of vocabulary. Man, I look up words that sell, words that stir emotion, right? And I got categories, man. Anything that I want to change in my life, if it's fitness, if it's relationship, I'll look through those words and I'll begin to talk and use them in conversation, different words. When I begin to use different words, I invite new opportunities, new circumstances, new situations, new emotions, new feelings, new people, right? Now, if I keep using the same words and saying, why is my life not changing? Because my words have not changed, right? My words have shaped, my thoughts and words have shaped my environment, right? And if I want to change, I must address these two things. I must get rid of my thinking, get rid of my old beliefs, and I must speak like that which I want to become and that I want to experience. So the words are really, really powerful. Don't underestimate the power of your words.
It's incredible. This was unbelievable. I can't even believe it's been an hour. First of all, for our listeners, I know they're going to be super pumped to support you, brother. I know you have an event coming soon, in December. Depending upon if this gets dropped beforehand, is there an opportunity for people to sign up? Is that thing sold out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can go to blessingunstoppable.com. I got all my tour dates on there. We actually got three. I don't know when this is going to be posted. We actually got one this weekend, December 3rd in St. Louis. And then December 9th, San Jose. And then December 16th, finishing up the 30 city tour from this year in New York City. We're super excited to come back to the Big Apple. And then next year, we're going to have another slate, another 30 cities, man. We're going everywhere from London to Sydney, Melbourne, and everything in between. So if you don't get this one, man, be sure to follow up on us. We got a massive amount of tour dates and slate for everybody to get to.
Yeah, and we're going to put all that in the show notes before. Before we wrap up, I'd like to have a little bit of fun. Maybe 1 minute of rapid fire. Maybe one or two word answers. We'll get a little weird.
Okay. Let's go.
Okay. Favorite movie?
Godfather 2.
Okay. Your last meal on earth would be?
Pie and pizza.
Which one?
Pizza.
Oof. Can't go
good
wrong.
Good pizza.
Hell yeah. Favorite guilty pleasure?
Ice cream.
Fair enough. Favorite book, not including yours?
I'm actually reading something right now by this guy, Charles Fillmore. It's a collection of books. He had 12 books, and they broke it into two different books, a series of books. Man, it's some of the most powerful stuff I ever read, man. Charles Fillmore.
Love it. Okay. Now we're going to get real deep to the last one.
Okay.
Your favorite musician?
Ooh. Man, because I come out of the music world, and it really just depends on what day. I won't say an individual musician, man, because I got so many, and depending on what day it'll be. But I will say this, I went from rap, you know, urban, hip hop, pop, R&B. I went to, you know, being consumed in that to now I'm going backwards. When I'm going back, and I went through the 70s and 60s, and I'm back into epic instrumental classical music that is emotionally stirring. I felt like a lot of the newer music was kind of boxed in ways that would not give that dynamic. And I love to just listen to that. I'll read to that. Like, I'll put on my headphones, man, and put on epic stations where it's just instrumental, powerful, like cinematic scores and stuff like that to create emotion. And I'll read to that. And I'll read to that. And at the same time, too, there's a rhythm to that kind of music that helps me write my quotes and my poetry and things like that, man. So that's really where I've been at musically, is more epic and classical type of music.
I love it, brother. Love it. I just saw a movie. I haven't seen a movie in a while, but I love to see the movies. My fiance and I went to see Napoleon.
Yes, I saw that last week. Yes,
oh, you sir. Did?
Yes, sir. I saw it the day it came out.
Oh, I love that. Of course you did. Epic, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I studied the greats, man.
Same. Yeah. And I was always fascinated with that character, but I didn't know so much about him. I thought the movie was really well done. Just cool. And a lot of the score in the background, some of the war scenes, was epic.
Oh, yeah. Definitely powerful.
Yeah. I love that about you. What are you most excited about right now? How can everybody support you? I imagine the tour.
Yeah, the tour for sure, man. We come to 30 cities in 24, and still got three left for this year. Basically, what we do is a 4.5-5 hour personal, intimate workshop, man, where we help people find, themselves in these teachings, man, and help them, get clarity in their life, get a vision, decide what it is they want. That's the main focus in the events, man. So definitely, if you get an opportunity, anyone out there, get to the event. Also, if you can't make it to an event, get the book. This is a 31-day devotional. So every day for 31 days, I walk through a success principle, man. Yeah. This book is doing really well.
Of course it is. Yeah. And I'm going to put all that in the show notes. This was so much fun, brother. Hang on for one sec. I want to connect you after. Billy, I want you to know the definition of authenticity, consistency, and beautiful wisdom. I can personally guarantee your best is yet to come. Keep on spreading your wings and leaving your mark on this world. So much love and respect for you. Thank you so much for stopping by and dropping these priceless, juicy nuggets today.
Man, thank you, brother, man. God bless you, man. Thank you for having me. And to God be the glory.
Brother, that was unbelievable.
Amen, brother. God is good. So I love our vibe, man. You're on the same frequency, man.
So much fun, brother. Yeah, I'd love to stay connected and do many more things.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. Tell me a little bit about I've been venturing in doing some study too on the Kabbalah. I know you was reading into that too, taking a class on that. I was going through your I think it was Instagram, and you had mentioned that in our class or something, and I was like, oh, he's reading too. I was reading that exact same time that I read your quote. I was like, okay, when I get him on the Zoom, I'm going to ask him a little bit about it. So you're going through a class with that, or a course with that, or what?
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS, the YouTube channel Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. The best is yet to come.